the CBS Mornings on the Go. Ahead on this Friday, July 10th, the death of a Mississippi teen, Nolan Xavier Wells, has made national headlines. We'll sit down with his family and their attorney to find out what they know and the questions they desperately still need answers to. And Meg Cabot is here. She's the author behind the best-selling book series, The Princess Diaries. She'll tell us about her new project, a fresh spin on the story that started it all. And I flipped the script on Sean Evans, host of the hit YouTube show Hot Ones. This time it is Evans in the hot seat. We'll find out if he can take the heat. All that and more ahead.
For the first time, we're hearing from the former roommate and romantic partner of Tyler Robinson, the Utah man accused of killing Charlie Kirk. In a recorded interview, Lance Twigg said Robinson told him he wished he hadn't done it. Now, remember, Robinson faces charges including aggravated murder and witness tampering. Carter Evans was in court for the preliminary hearing. Carter, good morning.
Well, good morning, Kelly. People in the courtroom were riveted as that video of Lance Twigg's played. But Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica, had her head down most of the time, tears in her eyes. Tyler Robinson showed no emotion as his former lover testified against him.
My name is Lance Twigg.
On Thursday, prosecutors played an interview with Tyler Robinson's former roommate and romantic partner, describing the moment they first saw each other the day after the shooting of Charlie Kirk.
I just asked him in person if what he said was true the night before, and he said it was. I started crying a little bit and said he wishes he hadn't done it.
Twigg told investigators Robinson first texted hours after the murder. The message? Stop what you're doing and look under my keyboard. Twigg found a handwritten note that said, I had an opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk, and I'm going to take it. In court, Agent Brian Davis read the text exchanges.
You weren't the one who did it, right? And Tyler says, I am, I'm sorry. And Tyler says, why did I do it? And Lance says, yeah. Tyler says, I had enough of his hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated out.
Twigg received limited immunity in exchange for talking with prosecutors in April, where they showed surveillance photos.
That looks like him in terms of the shoes he's wearing, the sunglasses. The last two definitely do look like him. They do look like Tyler Robinson.
Twigg said Robinson had previously only spoken about politics on occasion.
Usually if he did talk about politics stuff, it was relating to Trump or current, like, policies. I personally had never heard him talk about Charlie Kirk.
Now, in addition to Thursday's pretrial testimony, prosecutors say they have physical evidence, including Robinson's DNA on the murder weapon and bullets he allegedly engraved before the shooting. Now, Robinson still has not entered a plea, but the defense is expected to wrap up its presentation today, and then the judge will decide if the court can move forward with a murder trial.
Carter Evans in Utah. Thank you, Carter.
I want to turn to China, where a devastating fire swept through a shoe factory Thursday, killing more than two dozen people. Some workers were seen trying desperately to escape those flames and smoke. Anna Korin shows us what happened.
A man stands on the ledge of the roof of a five-story building as flames rage just feet away. Firefighters spray him and other trapped co-workers with water in a desperate attempt to keep them alive. These dramatic images were captured on social media as a shoe factory in the city of Jinjun in Fujian Province, southern China, was engulfed in fire and thick black columns of smoke. According to state media, 239 people were inside the building when the fire broke out on the ground floor. Most of them managed to escape, but at least 28 people are confirmed dead. This is the latest incident in China where work safety is a persistent problem. A few months ago, an explosion at a fireworks factory killed dozens. Chinese President Xi Jinping has ordered a probe into Thursday's deadly fire. The factory's owner and managers have been arrested and the company's accounts frozen. For CBS Mornings, I'm Anna Corrin in London.
This morning, we're focusing on the desperate search for answers in the mysterious death of 18-year-old Nolan Xavier Wells. He didn't return with friends after a 4th of July boat trip to a Mississippi island. Wells' mother reported him missing that very night. But tragically, a few days later, his body was found. Now, there are a lot of questions about what happened to him, and his family is demanding answers. Nolan's parents, Christine and Elmore Wansley, and their attorney, Ben Crump, are joining us now in studio to talk more about this. Thank you both and Attorney Crump for being here under these especially difficult circumstances that no parent ever wants to live through. Christina Nalmore, can you help us understand what your understanding is of the timeline and what questions you both still have about what actually happened to Nolan?
So he basically, the night before, all the boys got together, stayed the night, 4th of July, they launched the boat, they went to the island, and that was that. I was expecting a, you know, hey, we're back, you know, like he normally does. Didn't happen. Get a phone call around 11, 4th of July. Hey, have you talked to Nolan? And I'm like, no, where is he at? So then my friend Tashima was so helpful in tracking his phone down because everyone was looking at the Snapchat location because all the kids follow each other. But I was looking at Life360 and I'm like, well, I don't understand because I'm literally looking at his phone like it's at someone's house. So thankfully my friend did go grab the phone for us as we were kind of doing the other part of it, which was notifying, you know, the local authorities, trying to figure out who we needed to speak to do the missing persons report, because I know that needs to be done as soon as possible, especially when we're talking about water. You know, we wanted to make sure that we could try to find him, and that was the goal.
Who called you first initially, and how well do you know the people that Nolan was hanging out with that day? How familiar are you with them and their families?
So their families, we have not met. So Warren was the one who made the phone call, and he did contact the Coast Guard as well, which I know there's some discrepancies now with that. Mm-hmm. But he did contact them, and I was going back and forth with the Sheriff's Department and the City of Ocean Springs. Who do we talk to? So then it turned into I had to contact DMR, and DMR took the information, but then reverted me back to Ocean Springs Police Department. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, where do we go from here? So Jackson County basically was like, hey, we're gonna take it over. We'll go ahead and do the report.
Well, the mother of one of the boys who was with Nolan apparently posted on social media that Nolan made a decision to stay on the island and then return inland later with another group of friends. Were you made aware of that plan beforehand? Is that something that Nolan would have done or would do often?
No.
No, he wouldn't. Nolan was always taught to stay with the group. If you leave with me, you come back with me. So that I don't understand. And with me being a parent, if I was in that situation, I would have told him, you're going to get back on this boat with me because I don't want to have to answer to your parents if something happened to you.
Right.
So you're going to get on the boat. And if you still don't want to get on the boat, someone give me a phone so I can make a phone call to get your parents on the phone so they can tell you to get on the boat. Mm-hmm. But at no time will I leave someone else's child especially on the island.
So you think he got left behind then?
Yes. I don't believe he decided to stay on the island by himself. It just doesn't, that's not his character.
Attorney Crump, you have a lot of questions about what happened, ranging from the fact that the police very quickly declared that they didn't see any evidence of foul play, but then said that they were now investigating, to the timeline, the idea of where the phone could potentially be. Help me understand.
Vlad, there are so many glaring contradictions, and that's why so many people all across America are chiming in saying this is not adding up. I mean, you have them saying he was talking to a young lady, and she said that he said, I'm going to get back on the boat with the boys. Well, the boys say he said that, no, I'm going to stay with her. I mean, which is it? Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you talk about this video that's out there that shows this apparent argument going on where Nolan says, where's my freaking phone? What are you freaking doing? And then his phone turns up missing. I don't know any 18-year-old, if you go with their story that he said he was going to stay behind, I'm going to leave my cell phone behind. Mm. It's not adding up. And so those are the things that his mother and father are saying, we're not accepting this. He was a college athlete. He was in superb shape. And so he's a good swimmer. And you see the video of all those people out there. If he's drowning, nobody's going to help.
But the video and, that you're talking, sorry, Natalie, the video that you're talking, go ahead.
I was going to say, you reposted that video. Yep. Now the Jackson County Sheriff's Office, they are calling for people to send in any videos or anything that they may have seen. What are they communicating with you about the investigation and what they are getting from people?
They haven't communicated much at this point. In fact, his mother, as she said, they had to track down the cell phone, and she can talk about the deleted messages that are very concerning to her because it's relevant. All of it is relevant to finding out how Nolan Wells ended up dead.
Let me ask you really quickly on that video that you posted. Are you sure that that is Nolan's voice that we can hear on the video?
Well, and there are kids. Kids are talking, and kids are always talking that there was an argument. So we have independent investigators doing it, and we're getting an independent autopsy. Colin Kaepernick paid for his body to be flown up to Washington, D.C. from Mississippi because his parents have some distrust when you think about the history of Mississippi.
Oh, yes. And Christine, going back to that cell phone, you said you were able to recover it.
Yes.
So you saw clear signs that there were deleted conversations.
There were definitely concerns just because Nolan is always on Snapchat. He will be like, hey, mom, smile, you know, put a peace sign. Mm-hmm. So when me and my sister went through it, there was nothing.
There were no
saved videos. There was nothing in there. She went to the secondary account. There was nothing in there. And I know, you know, when kids get together for events like that, you know, they're snapping. They're making videos, taking pictures. And so I'm just like, where is it? Because it hadn't even been 24 hours when we started looking, which usually with Snapchat, it goes away once you hit that 24-hour mark.
Elmore, can you... For all of us who are so concerned about what happened here, just tell us a little bit more about your son. Who was he? What kind of man was he growing up to be?
He was very respected by the community. He was very respected by a lot of people. There wasn't a friend that he couldn't make. People gravitated to Nolan. That was just the type of person he was. He was a silent leader when on the field and on the basketball court. People would follow his actions and not his words. I'm a person, I believe action is more important than words. You can tell me 1,000 times you love me, but show me you love me. Mm-hmm. If you are my real friends and I'm giving you this trust, you need to get it back to me by making me.
Yeah.
Making me get on that boat. It's three of them, one of me. Yeah, we may tussle, but when we get back to the mainland, either we're gonna tussle some more or we're gonna go party. So, and same with the adult. If that was your child and I was the one there, you would have wanted me to make your child get back on the boat. So it was a lot of bad decisions made. I don't think my son volunteered to stay on that island. I can't believe that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you both for being here. We're so sorry about this. And we hope that there is some news that comes out of this investigation. We'll be watching. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt.
Appreciate it. All right. Well, if you are heading to the beach this weekend, there is a nearly invisible threat that you need to be aware of. We're talking about rip currents. They can pull even experienced swimmers away from the shore in seconds. This past holiday weekend, there were more than 200 rescues at East Coast beaches and another 255 rescues in L.A. County. CBS News chief correspondent Matt Gutman is in L.A., where lifeguards demonstrated what to do if you get caught in a rip current. Matt, good morning. And what did you learn?
Hey, good morning, Natalie. Well, rip currents are arguably the leading cause of death along U.S. shorelines. And the National Weather Service is predicting that later today, there is a high risk of life-threatening rip currents. And we're talking about what is expected to be a massively packed beach this weekend. So one of the things you learn, and I learned after being in several of them, is that they're definitely scaring, absolutely exhausting, but they don't have to be fatal.
Right here. Come back here.
A desperate race against the current as rescuers chase two Florida snorkelers being swept away.
Grab this.
Finally, they manage to haul the exhausted snorkelers on board. Rip currents are one of the deadliest hazards along America's shorelines, killing an average of more than 100 people every year.
On any given day where it's hot and sunny, we can perform probably a couple hundred rescues, no problem.
Think about that nationwide, all the coastlines. I mean, we're talking about thousands a day in the summer.
The danger isn't always easy to spot, so we joined Los Angeles County lifeguard Jake Miller as he scanned the surf.
You can see kind of our sandy, murky water. Yeah.
He spots several along the shore where that murky water looks deceptively calm. We wade in, simulating unaware swimmers.
If you pick your feet up and float, you'll start to kind of just feel a little bit of backward motion. Pulling us out away from the beach. Now you have a wave coming, and you can see how people get so exhausted. You're trying to swim, now we're being dragged back out.
And I do what many swimmers do, and that's aim for shore, but directly into the rip current. And I'm going nowhere fast.
I'm tired.
You're tired, right?
We try another rip current, this time with our drone overhead. With that bird's eye view, you can see the churning brown water of the rip current. And at first, I swim to shore, actually losing ground. Then I signal for help from the lifeguards by waving my hands in the air like this. And then to conserve energy, I flip and float on my back. Finally, I swim parallel to shore, out of the brown rip current, into the greener water. An air lifeguard helps me back to shore.
I think one of the reasons that people get so panicked in a rip current is they think it's an undertow that is gonna suck you under. That's not the case.
It's not the case. All this current is doing is pulling you out to sea. The only thing that's pulling you down is the panic, the extra weight of clothing, getting tired. That's where people are gonna start to go under.
But the best advice, avoid getting into a rip current in the first place.
What is the first thing that somebody should do when they get to the beach?
The best thing that we always recommend is coming down and checking in with the lifeguard. We know where the hazardous conditions are gonna be. We can point you to the areas that are the safest.
This is what you are paid to do.
Totally. 90% of our job is interacting with the public. We want everybody to enjoy the day.
Yeah.
We just want them to do so safely and doing so in the safest places.
Matt, that was such a great demonstration, so important. And what did it feel like to be sucked out by a rip current like that? And also, what do families need to talk about when they head to the beach?
You know, Natalie, when you have your feet in the sand, you can feel yourself being tugged out into the ocean. But when you're floating, you lose all that sensation and you realize that you're far offshore before you know it. So the first rule of thumb from lifeguards is they want to talk to you on the sand, not in the water. So just check in with them before you get into the water once you're at the beach. The second thing is, if you do realize that you are in a rip current, you do not want to panic and start to fight back through it and swim to shore. You want to try to conserve your energy. You want to flip and float on your back. You want to try to signal the lifeguards or signal for help in general. It is their job to find people in distress. They are very good at it, so trust them. Then you want to try to swim parallel to shore, not directly into it. And at some point, you're probably going to want to take a break. You're going to feel exhausted. It is okay to do that. So you're swimming parallel to shore, and then you are out of that rip current. You want to try to ride the waves back in. Likely, you will have a lifeguard there by your side before you know it. Vlad.
Yeah, Matt, such important news that you can use. And so many people have been caught in these riptides and have died. So information like this is incredibly important. Great reporting as always, my friend. Thank you very much.
Norwegian soccer star Erling Haaland is one of the biggest names in the sport. From his signature Viking look to his goal-scoring magic, he has captured the attention of World Cup fans. But it doesn't just look like a Viking. He eats like one, too. Haaland lives in Manchester, England, where he's known by locals to have an enormous appetite. So we sent our Lee Canary to eat like a Viking for a day.
Edison looking to release that ball into Erling Haaland.
At 6'5", Erling Haaland has a lot more muscle to fuel than the average person. He runs around 7 miles in each game. His breakfast is around 1,000 calories.
Four eggs, bit of yogurt, toast. I think I can manage this.
A few hundred more come from what he calls magic potion.
So you drink raw milk too? It's very popular here. How hard can it be?
This is amazing.
Haaland promotes his diet on social media channels where his following is skyrocketing.
He's huge, he's healthy, like his skin's clear, like he just looks like a healthy human. So you can tell that he's been put on the right diet, hasn't he?
We hope so.
Hi.
Buongiorno.
Next stop, lunch at his favorite Italian deli.
And how come you named a sandwich after him?
Because he chose his favorite ingredients. Parmam, burrata, sun-dried tomatoes, rocket, truffle oil, and pesto.
I'll have one of those, please.
Oh.
1,100 calories of delight for most people.
It's delicious. I am starting to feel very full.
Just another 3,000 calories to go. Holland was born in the UK. His dad was a professional for Manchester City. More than 20 years later, his son is their star player.
Erling Holland comes here for his tomahawk steaks. A cool box.
Buying Holland steaks was the easy part.
Anything else you recommend that you think he would probably get?
Definitely the bone marrow.
Bone marrow. Sold. Sold. Okay. What do you think the footballers would drink if they came in here?
Water. Just water.
Okay, just water.
The wait was welcome and daunting.
Yeah, I'm genuinely concerned now.
Dinner arrives. All 3,000 calories of it, and there are no Vikings to be seen.
We know that Holland likes this because it is nutrient dense. It is filled with collagen. It's so rich.
The 2.5-pound steak was a little much for me.
I have to admit defeat, guys. I had to have the crew come in and help me finish that steak because I was just so full. England plays Norway tomorrow, and I know we'll be in for a good show because the striking Viking will be on the field.
Oh, my gosh. Lee, my stomach. I've got indigestion just watching.
Oh, my God. Poor thing. You said it all.
Your
I love
face
it.
When you're eating the bone marrow, Lee, was
priceless.
Chef's kiss. We used to say, eat like a Viking. I can tell what that is now.
Oh,
coming up.
Gosh.
Author Meg Cabot is here. She's also behind the wildly successful Princess Diaries series. She's going to join us in studio for a look at her latest project. There she is. Hey, Meg.
Hi, Meg.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. See things you don't
understand. Me? A princess? Shut up! I beg your pardon? Shut up.
Your Majesty, in America, it doesn't always mean be quiet. Here it could mean wow, gee whiz, golly wallies.
Oh, I understand. Thank you.
Oh, I love that movie. That was the 2001 classic movie, The Princess Diaries. And this summer marks 25 years since it premiered in theaters. Now, it was based on the popular young adult book series of the same name by author Meg Cabot. She wrote a dozen novels in that series, following Princess Mia from awkward teen to royalty. And now Cabot is back with a new spin on the story that started it all, The Princess Diaries, the graphic novel. You can scan the QR code on your screen right now to get your own copy. Meg Cabot joins us here in our studio.
Welcome.
Good morning. We've got our princess wave.
Yes, you got the royal wave.
I loved this series. I loved the book. The Princess Diaries, it came out in 2001 when it was first published. The movie came out a year later. Instant hit, instant classic. Now this is kind of a redo of it, right? A new take on it, a fresh spin.
Yeah, it is. And it's so exciting to go back and revisit those characters and kind of introduce them to a new generation. A lot of my readers who have been reading those books for quite a long time now have kids of their own.
Mm.
They are amazing lawyers, doctors, teachers, writers, but the main thing they are princesses,
right,
inside and out.
Yeah.
And how was it taking what you had written from book form to then graphic novel form?
It was really interesting because you're kind of showing instead of telling. And so you actually write a script. It's like a screenplay script, but it's for graphic novels. And so I describe every single panel, all the characters, what they're wearing, what their expressions are, what they're saying, and then the artist interprets it. And it's so much fun to see as those drawings come in what Bethany Crandall, who's the illustrator, did with my script. It's amazing.
Fantastic job, yeah.
I have to ask, so I was one of the people that spent my life growing up at the library, and I would normally go for nonfiction, but your books were the ones I can still remember going in the young adult section and finding the new one and reading it there. But then I went and I watched the movie, and there's a little bit of a different twist with a character.
What was your thought?
Yeah.
You know, when Disney first contacted me and said they were going to make this into a movie, they said, we are going to make some changes. And, you know, the book is set in New York City, and they said, we're going to have to film in San Francisco. And I said, oh, like, why? And they said, because Gary Marshall's going to direct it. And his little granddaughters live in San Francisco, and so he wants to be near them while he films. And if you watch the film, you can see the little granddaughters. They're the little blonde girls that Mia gives her autograph to. It's so adorable. So I did not mind that change. But the big change that readers read the graphic novel, they're going to find out, is that Mia's father is alive. He's dead in the movie.
Classic
they
Disney.
They killed him.
Yes. What? Perfect. It's what Disney does.
They actually called me.
They kill parents.
And they go, well, we have some bad news. We have to kill the dad in your book. And I was like, why? What did he do? And they said, they go, well, we have an actress that we want to play the grandmother. And she's a really great actress, and she hasn't done anything in a while, and we really want to give her more lines. So we're going to kill the dad and give this actress the dead lines. And I said, well, who's the actress? And they said, Julie Andrews.
The Academy Award winner, Julie Andrews.
Yes. You're like, sold.
Bye, Dad.
It's Julie. You're out. But he is alive in the book. So when readers see them, they've already contacted me to tell me I made a mistake. Little young readers. The dad is supposed to be dead. I'm like, no, he actually is alive in the books.
So then what's in the graphic novel, for people who are curious, what would be the things that they're going to see in the graphic novel that perhaps they didn't see in the film?
Well, that's actually true. It's more like what they didn't really get to see in the book, which is Genovia.
you get to see my interpretation
of how Genovia looks, which is a lovely beach. It's actually based on Monaco. So if anybody...
Oh, nice.
I do like to say that we're all going to get visas to go to Genovia.
There it is.
Okay. Yeah, but...
Oh, it does look like... Yes, horrible? It does look... Give it looks Monaco like vibes. Monaco.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's really fun. And we are castle shopping right now for the Princess Diaries.
Castle shopping? Yeah. I'm going
to
go on that tour.
And I'm like, we need to go to Monaco for that, but we'll see.
So the word on the street is that perhaps Anne Hathaway could potentially return for Princess Diaries 3. Yeah. She's very involved.
Yeah, she's very involved. Wow. We actually I've read multiple scripts. They're amazing. Obviously, she's in all of them. But in the last one that I read, everyone returns in the script.
Wow.
I don't know if all the actors are going to be able to come back because obviously we have to work with their schedules. But I'm really excited. But I did tell them to not send me any more scripts because I'm so excited I can't stop talking and giving away spoilers. So I'm not going to do that. So don't even ask
Maybe
me.
Maybe during the
I
break.
Love that they're sharing during the scripts the with you, though, because oftentimes writers of books and novels do not get a say or any indication of what's going on in the screenplay.
Yeah, and there's a good reason for that because sometimes we see the screenplay and we're like, no, what have you done? You killed the dad. Right. But I'm totally good with it. I have had this experience before and I'm just so excited to see their new interpretation of these characters and where they're going. Because I feel like there's two Genovian universes. There's Disney's, which is great, and then there's mine, which is right. So
I love that.
I love that.
Before we let you go, though, you have a new graphic novel. This is your original. I'm holding it right here. What inspired you to write this?
The detective baby. You know, 10 years ago, a little baby ran past me when I was in a restaurant in a hotel, and she was wearing that exact outfit with the little fedora, and she looked like a little baby detective. And I go, oh my gosh, I have got to write a series about a little baby who solves crimes. But I could not figure out how to do it until I learned how to write graphic novels. And they're
incredible.
The whole story.
Meg Cabot, we got a lot to check out with you. The Princess Diaries, a graphic novel, is out now. Be sure to scan the QR code on your screen to get your copy. And Meg's first original graphic novel, Detective Baby Dance Teen Drama, is out in September and it's available for pre-order today.
All right, one of the hottest shows out there is the hit YouTube series Hot Ones. It's hosted by Sean Evans, and it's become one of the most successful shows on the platform. Now, Evans puts stars to the test with fiery wings and even hotter questions. The show is not only celebrating its 30th season, there's also a new spin-off series premiering next week on Netflix. In a rare experience, Vlad got to turn the tables on Evans, putting him in the interview hot seat at the popular smoked wing spot Northern Bell in Brooklyn.
Yep, that's me, eating a bunch of incredibly hot wings.
Yes.
You might be asking yourself, why? Well, before we turn up the heat, let's rewind to before Sean Evans became the ultimate wingman. Let's start at the beginning.
Yeah.
You didn't initially say to yourself,
be a chicken wing talk show host.
Exactly. What was your original plan?
You know, honestly, I never dreamed as big as I live now, to be honest with you.
Good evening, I'm Sean Evans.
I went to the University of Illinois to be a broadcast journalism major. And the way that I dreamed, I was like, wow, wouldn't that be so cool? I get my degree and then I get an internship at, you know, a drive time morning radio show where sports fans are calling in and maybe I could produce one of those morning shows. You know, like that's where my head was at, where like that was the mama I made it kind of hill that I was trying to climb. And obviously things zigged and zagged along the way to, you know, end up where I am right now eating scorching hot chicken wings with famous celebrities.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? For First We Feast.
Since its debut in 2015, Hot Ones has become a pop culture phenomenon.
It's pretty hot.
It's now in its 30th season.
You should ask me all the cute questions up top.
With more than 400 episodes and nearly 16 million subscribers.
Textbook. Perfect.
So is there an actor that you really like, that you really would like to see on the show, but you haven't either because they haven't said yes or because schedules haven't worked out?
Tom Cruise. I cannot imagine he's ever heard of the show or seen the show, but if he had, maybe he would connect with it and we would supercharge the wings, you know, again, another blank canvas for him to paint on.
Hi, Gordon Ramsay. Some of the most memorable moments so far.
Episode 8.
Trying to protect Winona Ryder from the pain. Conan O'Brien bringing in medical backup.
Yeah, it's not good. Not that's good. Dead either.
And Shaquille O'Neal becoming a picture-perfect meme.
Kansas.
I know you probably don't see yourself as a celebrity because you're a humble guy, but you are one. Have you considered that?
I don't take it that seriously, or it's not like a drug that I need or an itch that I need scratched. Like, I really love just doing the thing that I do. I love walking a mile in someone else's shoes. I like studying the person, doing a little armchair psychology, and then just start the process over and over and over again.
After all my story research, it was time to see if I could handle the heat.
Let's eat some wings, right?
Well, you did the smart thing first. I saw you popping antacid before we started.
I did. And I also have Gaviscon in addition to the milk ready to
go. Yeah, you're fully prepared. Okay. And we're starting at the most mild of sauces.
Okay. This is already pretty spicy. Okay. I'm hanging in there so far.
Spicy food is like cardio. You know, if you do it every day, it gets a little bit easier. I'll do a Hot Ones episode and then go to the gym right afterwards.
Oh, yeah. What?
Yeah. This is where the rubber hits the road. But you know, after watching those episodes, now you, this is the Hot Ones experience right here. You're gonna be forever changed.
Okay, you can ask me something, but I don't think I can talk. What's next?
So, this is the last dab.
Okay.
We call
no,
it the
last. No, this is the last dab?
This is the last dab. But let's look on the bright side, okay?
There is a bright side?
This is it.
Why are you pouring it onto the plate?
So it's tradition to put a little on the last one.
I've covered wars. I'm getting lightheaded. Wait a second, hold on.
Exactly, this is what happens.
Should people over a certain age not eat these wings? Because maybe I qualify for that. Do I qualify for that?
I think we've already gone way past that intersection. Okay. Be careful around the eyes. It's going to build. The worst is not over.
The worst is not over?
But there are no more bites. Remember how the last one built?
Yes.
This one's going to build. But you've made it to the top of Mount Scoville. You are at the peak.
Can I take a sip?
Yes. Enjoy the view, baby. Enjoy the view, Vlad.
My heart hurts. It's like I feel it in my heart. I feel it in this portion of my body. Like something's going down. I don't know what. We'll find out. Thank you, my friend. This
Thank you
awesome.
So much. I appreciate so it. You could say I conquered the Hot Ones.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And no one can take that away from you. The suffering will not be in vain. I promise.
Oh my gosh. So one of the peppers in that last, in the dab, is a pepper that is 2.6 million on the Scoville index, right? Which measures the heat of hot sauces. Pepper X, they call it.
I'm so glad this was you and not me. I can't handle the spice. I mean, for me, even that little bit of sriracha, the first one.
Yeah, you were already like, ooh, my stomach is bothering me just looking at that.
Anytime we need to have a hard conversation, I'm going to bring these out and be like, hey.
Well, what's incredible is that you're hearing like fades, the colors get get really bright. You feel like you're, it's like euphoria. And then, believe it or not, you have a crash.
Oh, my God.
And you
really
want some more.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Better you than us, bud.
You are brave.
It was so great having you this week, Natalie.
Fun hanging out with you
guys.
Yes,
you're amazing. We'll see you on Monday on CBS Mornings. Bye.
Where are you sending us?
Well, this is a fun one.
Streaming July 23rd on Paramount Plus, the hit series Star Trek Strange New Worlds returns.
You are facing the finest crew in Starfleet.
Boldly go one step closer.
Any of these missions could be on us.
To where it all began.
We've seen a lot of strange new worlds, but we'll never see something like this.
Star Trek Strange New Worlds, new season streaming July 23rd exclusively on Paramount Plus.